All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Mic's down. Intro music here. Dougie Show. I'm Dougie Almeida. Danger Studios here on a Tuesday, September 26th on my calendar. I'm here with Mr. Elgin David.
What's up?
And our substitute co-host is usually here on Monday, but this week he wasn't here. Ciro.
Hey, good to be back.
And anyway, we got, Peter's under skin oral surgery.
I saw a video he posted. He's getting something worked on in his mouth. I don't know what it is, but
maybe they're going to sew it shut.
Hopefully. I mean, he had a mask on. He was breathing in the,
he never looked better.
What is it? Nitrogen?
No, it's pure oxygen.
No, and they I love that moment.
Nitrous.
That's what it is. Nitrous oxide.
They give you that. If you ever had surgery, they give you this shot to kind of get you ready, like Twilight, whatever it's called. And you're sitting.
Twilight.
I don't know what it's called. Maybe they were putting the movie Twilight.
Like Novocaine?
No. They just give you I don't know what it is. It's like, I don't know. It's like mushrooms in a fucking shot.
What?
It's awesome.
Wait, who does this?
No, before you go in surgery.
Okay.
Like the last time.
Dentist friends. What was it? Lopez.
I'm thinking.
I know what you're talking about. When I went in last surgery, they give you like some kind of morphine,
right?
Something.
And they give you a nice, and then you're sitting
and you're
there
feeling good.
In the prep room while the operating room's right there, and you're off to the side.
Yep.
And you're in this little dim room. You're in a dim room, and it's cool, and it feels great.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sitting, and they put this thing in, and you're like, they're like, okay. Okay, I'm gonna gift you're gonna, and you're just like, woo, nice. You know what I mean? You're like,
yep.
You're like on a never ending wave that just, you're going down a forever water slide.
I remember I was like, when I got the surgery on my leg, because I had my Achilles done, same thing. They put you in that little, you're in the robe, you're
right.
Laying down, they give you a little like feel good drugs, and you're like, she's like, you're gonna feel good after this.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, the first wave hits.
Yeah,
like, woo.
It feels like an iceberg just went up your ass.
Right before they're gonna put you for the surgery, they give you the knockout.
Yeah.
So like, all right, you're gonna count down from three, two,
and then,
you're just like, ugh. I remember I told you, I said, make sure you do a good job, my
yeah.
And it's like, boom, you're gone. You wake up.
When they knocked me out the time I got my one wisdom tooth pulled years ago, when I was a teenager. When I was going into that lapse when you're shutting down.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah, it is. I could have sworn I thought the dentist grabbed my girlfriend's ass. I was like I woke up, because you wake up in the room, and like, wow, you sleep forever, you know? And I'm like, did the dentist grab your ass when you walked out the door?
The first thing you remember.
I swore I saw it.
Yeah, right?
Everybody was grabbing her ass from what I remember. Anyway.
My dentist used terms like, I need another buckle. What?
A buckle?
Yeah, I guess that's a term for... two shots or one shot.
When you're getting Novocaine?
I guess.
Yeah. I mentioned that yesterday when I went to Will Lopez's. He's my dentist now.
Who is?
Ernesto, is it? I fucked it up. But Will Lopez's brother is my dentist.
Okay.
Because I fuck dental insurance. It's done. So we just make deals every time I need some work.
Nice.
It's like you bring it into the body shop.
Yeah.
Just touch her up.
I don't care if that's a purple tooth. It's a new molar.
Fuck it.
It's my tribute to Prince. But you know, like I had my regular dentist, this dentist, Sage Dental. At least what's a scam that thing is. Used to be Gentle Dental. Now it's Sage Dental. You spend $250 a year for you and your wife to have discounted dental services. How much is a root canal? $1,400. What kind of fucking discount is that?
Wait, that's not with the discount.
That's the price.
Wow.
When I get
What is it supposed to normally cost then?
Like, somebody said if it's the big one in the back, it's usually around that amount. And but our guy did it for $800.
Nice.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What kind of and they have a scam. They always say, like, we get free cleanings and the treatment stuff. And then you go in there like, oh, well, you really got to go in deep. You know, you got the gum receipt. You know, they give you that bullshit story that you know.
They make up stuff.
Yeah, you're going to need a more, deeper clean. Really? You mean to tell me when somebody cleans the teeth, they don't really clean as deep as they can? They kind of say, well, I can go further, but I don't really need to do that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. When they go to the dentist, they pull some shit out of places I didn't even know. Like, you have, like, a plaque wall that builds up behind your bottom teeth.
Get that scraping.
And they fucking rip that shit out, and it's like, I love the feeling. That's what my teeth really feel like. Like, yep, that's what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And you can floss, and you can brush as much as you want. That shit always comes back. You got to go to the dentist.
Oh, yeah. It's like they scrape that tartar off.
Yeah.
And if you got bad teeth, if you don't take care of your teeth, I floss after every fucking meal, you know. I got to get another crown because this one tooth, every time I eat something, I can get like a pound. You could take the meat out of that tooth there and serve a fucking Subway 6-inch.
Gross. Thanks for the visual.
You're welcome. What's up, Adam Hayes?
Yeah.
Sushi tooth.
Yeah.
Storing that bite
so
for later.
So he got this. I had this one. I told you I had this big wisdom tooth in the back that was cracked half off. It broke. Like the enamel just fell off the whole side. And the other people wanted to spend first of all, they said, well, we can extract the tooth. You know, which is like $3,500. You get knocked out again. They pull it, but then they have a tooth above it. They're fractioning. Factioning is what the dentist told me. They're fractioning. What? They're fractioning, which means I guess if the two teeth, your back teeth, go like this, it's fine.
It's like a problem if you don't. They're compacted.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're like, you don't need to pull it. And you know what he did? He patched it up, put a new nice filling in there. Guess how much?
$600.
No. How do you remember how much I told you they wanted to do the discount the place, the Sage Dental?
Yeah, $1,400.
No. That was for the root canal.
Oh.
But if they wanted to extract this tooth, that's like
$3,500. Yeah. Uh-oh.
Nice.
So guess how much we got the patch-up work there? $175.
Wow. That's a fucking steal of a deal.
Let me tell you something.
You don't need to use the right kind of materials. Just patch it up.
Yeah, they just put some, rubber cement together.
I think my filling has a BMW sticker.
Fix a flat.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I got like the emblem from a Mercedes in my filling. So, you got to be smart.
Ding.
Fucking dental insurance is a ripoff. We used to pay like $100 a month for my wife and I, and it was the same shit. We spent $1,200 in premiums, and then we go to the dentist. We got to pay $1,000 for a fucking root canal. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just pocket this money.
Right.
I'll take that $100 every month and put it in an HSA account, health savings account, get a tax deduction on it. Welcome to financial world.
Dougie's Tips is sponsored by...
You got to be smart. That's all I'm saying. That's right. Sponsored by Geico.
Saying every episode, you just do a tip like that, and then it goes, that was Dougie's Tips. Dougie's Tips is sponsored by... And then, boom, you plug somebody, boom, sponsor. Yeah. If anyone is interested... We'll have a Dougie's Tip segment if you want to sponsor the show.
Exactly right.
Try to get some fucking money on this damn show.
Here's a story I wanted to talk about in the opening of the show. We're getting off this sit-stand thing. But we do want to talk every once in a while. Think about things you can't stand, like long lines. I can't stand long lines, right? There's only a couple times long lines are tolerable. And it's at Disney World and in the bathroom when you got to go. I mean... You gotta wait in the line.
Oh man, I've been standing in some crazy long lines during the hurricane.
Yeah,
because we were driving out of state. We went to New Orleans, and the lines for the bathroom were unbelievable, and for the women.
Right. The rest stops you're talking about?
Yeah, we stopped at a gas station, and I swear to God, the line was at least 35 people long.
That's right. Elgin fled.
How long did it take you to get out?
16 hours from here to not even from here. We were already in Fort Myers. From Fort Myers to New Orleans.
Well, that's not too bad.
That's not horrible.
16 hours.
You got on early, huh?
When did you leave? Yeah, he left like the week and a half before.
Oh, yeah. We made it. We had a little.
You left last year.
We had an evacuation.
He left around
Easter.
It was
an evacuation. We had a nice little time.
It's good if you can plan
that.
Awesome. I told my wife, listen, would you see the shit happening? If there's ever a Category 4 or better coming this way again, I don't give a shit if we're in the cone and we're a couple days out, a few days out. I'm getting the fuck out.
I mean, everyone's like, you know, ride or die, 305 till I die. I'm like, you're going to be dead.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, if you have a car, like, just leave. I mean, if I understand there's a lot of people who can't
right,
go.
They got family, they got old family, folks, kids, yeah, dogs, animals. It's a pain.
I understand. But if you have the ability to go, why would you not go?
Like, I could take my, aren't there kennels that you could take your dog to? Are you scared to take him to a kennel? I feel badly my dog at a kennel.
Yeah, there's no, who's going to be there working, watching the dogs?
Well, you know, some of these are, you know, they got some of these. So, I'm like, I got to take
the
dogs.
My sister packed everything up. The dog, the two cats, the turtle.
Yeah, we took a cat with us. We were gone.
That's it.
And you know what? We used it as an opportunity to have a fun time in New Orleans. But yeah.
Well, you know, so you hate that. That obviously sucks, waiting.
Hate waiting in lines, but that's a crazy thing to be in.
I hate people. I can't stand people that lie. Can't stand it.
Who likes that?
I'm just saying.
Show me the show that likes that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone likes people who lie.
Politicians. Well, I'm just giving you guys, you know, a little.
I can't stand that, Dougie.
I can't stand when you fucking give me help.
Can't stand.
Liars or?
You think there's people who are on the opposite end? I can't stand when people tell the truth. I can't take
they
it.
They always ratting me out with the truth.
Ugh, who wants to hear that? You know what? Some people, I don't like that. When they're always like, they can never be fun, and they're always like literal, and they want to tell you how it is. It's like, shut the fuck up. Just
let that fly.
Just have fun, dude.
All right, here's the thing, the opening show story I'm going to talk about. FBI probe uncovers massive college basketball scandal, snaring all kinds of people, even the company Adidas. Now, think about this, gentleman.
Rocking my Adidas.
You know, again, I wanted to find something to get us off the football discussion, but, and I have, you know, I have clients that owned Adidas, the stock, which went from like 60 to 115 in the last year, so it was a good time to get out with all this. No, they actually.
Wow.
It went. There's things where Adidas.
Okay.
Would give a school, or like give $50,000, like give a high school kid $100,000 to his family, and do it through like a certain college to assure that that kid would go to that college.
Oh, so they were like vetting kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For their point shaving.
The worst kept secret in college basketball is how coaches, sneaker executives, sports agents, travel team coaches, and financial advisors often through under the table payments steer top high school talent first to NCAA programs and later to the apparel brands that they hope to represent. Tuesday, U.S. attorney for the Southern District of New York blew the shadow world open in ways that have never before been seen, indicting 10 men, including active assistant basketball coaches at Arizona, Auburn, Oklahoma State, and USC, plus an executive for Adidas. In a widespread spread case that's sure to rock the college basketball world.
Sounds like that the script for Blue Chips.
So, I mean, think about this.
Yeah, it sounds like it could be a movie.
Like, think about this. Like, you have the apparel companies connecting with the colleges. Now remember these colleges have contracts with some of these apparel, like you
for what,
like
for jerseys and shit like that.
Like Adidas has, you know, they work. There was a little while there.
Florida has a contract with Gatorade.
Well, because
it was developed
here or something.
Gatorade.
But I know, like there's certain like Under Armour, you know, they get endorsements by what's his name, the guy from Golden State Warriors.
The guy that's not invited to the White House?
Steph Curry.
You're not invited.
Yeah, he had a contract with Under Armour. You know, they had a contract with him, but Under Armour's been tanking the stock. You know, Nike's been tanking. It used to be around 70 or 80. It's at 50. Under Armour used to be around 80. You know what it's at now? About 15.
Well, what are people even wearing nowadays?
But that's it. But so these colleges, they have a contract. They get Adidas. Say, look, we want to, you know, Michigan State, I think, has Adidas. And then, by the way, we want help picking up this guy at a high school. You mind sending his parents like a new Escalade?
Wow.
So Adidas sends him the fucking...
Yeah, they send money here, boom, right from the company. So it's not tracked.
Right, so Adidas is paying these families to go to these schools.
Yeah, like to influence.
Wow. So there's like...
I mean, what a perk to be a good athlete. I mean, that's a testament to how talented these kids are in high school.
See, is that a bad thing?
It's a very bad thing. You can't...
Why are they even talking about it? Can't they just keep this a secret?
And why? Do you consider it like the parents... is it bad because it's like they're selling their kids' talent?
What's
for
up,
money?
Max Docelli, by the way?
But isn't that what it is anyway?
Eventually.
To me, it's just interesting how everybody talks about banks. Everybody talks about financial institutions. Everybody, like all this corruptness, politics. We all know that is, but all these things have been exposed. Wall Street, you know, the everything. And now you look at something like even college basketball, right? Where, you know, it's something that, you know, now Adidas is involved. The stock price dropped like $3, $4, $5 today. It
really?
Was like just because of this news. And that's a problem. I mean, people are just going to be fired. You're gone. But now there's going to big, you know, this thing's going to blow up because, you know, the real question is how many people, because a company like the people at Nike aren't going to go, hey, you know what Adidas is doing? They just sent this guy $150,000, his parents. Holy shit. You know,
right.
let's send him something. Send him a fucking fruitcake.
I wish they would fucking pay me to go to college.
I would
I would go to college if I was sponsored by Nike.
Hell yeah.
When I was playing soccer, and I was playing like in these like regional...
I don't know what sport it'd be.
Development leagues.
Gymnastics.
Like Adidas would come out, and Nike, like it was big, Adidas was big in soccer.
Shot put.
And they were talking to people about wearing exclusive your uniform. And as a goalkeeper, they came to the goalkeepers because the goalkeeper wears whatever uniform they want. You don't wear the team uniform.
You get to wear whatever.
I wore my fucking uniform. I'm like, yeah, the team uniform gave you like a baseball jersey, but, you know, what the fuck is that? Oh, you got to look different than everybody else. I look like I'm fucking to mop up after the game. I wear my own
water
jersey.
Boy.
So you had, so they wanted to sponsor the goalkeepers. And I got a couple of years in that when I was in college. They just paid for the uniforms. They didn't give me $100,000 fucking dollars.
Right.
I got the uniforms and I got some sneakers.
I wonder what's included in the deal. I mean, obviously, you have to go to the school. Then you have to maintain a certain grade point average and be a good athlete.
Well, you think at that point, grade point averages really matter?
Maybe.
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to ask.
That's what I'm
out.
Saying. And, you know, and this because this is all bad because now you're having athletes that aren't, you know, because of their physical abilities going into college, right? And, you know, they're being... It's an old story, the old basket weaving story, right? These athletes don't take hard classes to keep their grades up,
and they don't really have to pass.
What did you learn? What did you learn this semester? How to say hello?
So let me ask you: Do the colleges have these classes for that purpose, so that you can have people there who need shitty classes or whatever to get by?
Colleges
just
have
so you can play sports, like.
Nah. I think they have shitty classes.
Sometimes they invent them. Sometimes they invent them.
That's what I'm saying. They invent these classes.
I'm going
to
sign up
to fulfill the need for these credits.
This is an agriculture class. It
says, jogging wasn't actually a class at first.
It's an agricultural class. It's watching grass grow.
And then we're going to have a watch TV class.
Yeah. It's American film history.
And then we're going to have a class called NAPS.
That's right. Then I'm going to do a whole semester on REM, rapid eye movement.
We're doing a sleep study.
First,
100% controlled group.
The first thing we're going to do is order pizza study.
There you go.
And then we're going to take a nap study.
Yeah, we're going to have a cuisine course where we taste different fast foods.
Pizza
after
Hut.
Partaking in some of this organic parsley that we are going to burn.
Yeah, we're going to do a little health experiment as well.
Brought to you by Monsanto.
Yeah. Yeah, they sent the kids $100,000 too. Just don't talk about our
with
beans.
With 100% GMO.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, man. I mean, what do you expect? Listen, that's the problem. That's the problem where there's so much corruption. Once you get into certain levels, the only way that you can compete is if you're getting if somebody's just breaking the... Like, I always just say that my business is a financial advisor. You work for companies, and there's like 10, 20, 30, 40 people in your region, you know? And the people that are always number one, two, or three, they were fucking shifty, cheating motherfuckers. You know what I mean?
Just liars.
Like, I remember in the early 90s at the bank, you know, the big thing was if you put somebody in investment, you have to tell them it's not FDIC insured.
Oh, wow.
It's not. You have to look at this paper. You got to sign it. You got to understand that this is, even though I'm in a bank, I'm sitting in a bank, you're buying this mutual fund or something. It's not FDIC. You could lose your fucking money. Okay, right. You could wake up, and you, you know, you're supposed to disclose it. You may want to be a little more, you know, you could maybe listen. Maybe a day where you know you want to be a little more, but you have to explode. You have to, there. You know, there was this one guy that was number one, and I actually sat down with him one day. I said, you know, I said, let me sit down with these guys, see what they're doing. They're just fooling fucking people. The one guy sitting there goes like, it's not FDIC insured, but it is SIPC insured.
Jeez.
What the fuck does that mean?
SIPC insurers is for securities industries.
Uh-huh.
And you're insured up to, I don't know, like the 500 to 800, depending on the account title. Let's call it $500,000.
Uh-huh.
Like people that got fucked with Bernie Madoff, they got about, if they lost millions, they probably got about 500,000 back from SIPC.
Oh, wow.
But it doesn't insure from losses. SIPC isn't going to step in if you decided to buy Under Armour at 70 and now it's at 15. You can't file a case with SIPC and say, hey, I lost my fucking money.
Right.
Now, you could sue the firm or basically make a complaint against the firm. And most of the times the firms go, yeah, let's this disappear. They'll pay the guy off. A lot of times the people in our industry at their disposal are like, yeah, fuck you. It's you're the one who's going to have it on your license. We're just going to pay it. We don't want to deal with it. So, you know, and my point is the people at the top usually have, you know, broken some rules.
Yeah.
You know? So that's why you want to find people in the...
That third comma in your bank account means you broke a rule.
Yeah.
You would think.
What do they say? If you're going to make an omelet, you got to break some eggs.
Thank you.
You know?
Grandpa Moses.
Hey, I got a feeling for the old man who usually yeah. sits... His soul is seeping into me.
Fitting in just well, by the way.
Ha!
Peter Leonard.
We miss you, Peter.
Peter Leonard has like a surgery, like as often as a woman gets a period.
Well, you know, he's getting to that time, you know, where
it's like everything. What, he's getting oral surgery? I mean, what's next?
Anal
get
a foot surgery.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my head out of my ass. any rate, I don't know. So I hate corruption.
Literal house of cards we're living in.
By the way, I'm gonna ask everybody on Facebook Live and on listening to the show. We need you to come out to Tavolino's. Start supporting your local rooms, okay? We've had some lighter crowds in the last few weeks, and, you know, if you can help pass the word on, we appreciate it. It's a shitty time of year. People are worried about how much money they have. $10 is not a lot, and, you know, I need stage time.
Yeah, there you go.
You know what I'm saying?
That's gonna
support, support, support.
This week's going to be great, by the way. I'm your host. That's not the reason.
Uh-oh.
But Ed's been real happy with my hosting lately. He's like, you just fuck with the crowd, you know? And I got to tell you, by just doing that, my act has gotten so much better.
Yeah?
Like all the last few times at Tavolino's, all I'm doing is just fucking with the crowd, winging it, you know, having fun and having a great time and controlling everything. So then when I'm on, you know, when I'm on stage, it's like...
It works your timing.
You know, you can handle something. This weekend, I think I mentioned, yes, some guy wanted to propose to his girlfriend this weekend at Kazi's.
Oh, wow.
And they asked me, the club said, hey... You want to take care of this? I'm like, usually, why? My first thought was, why isn't the MC doing it? But then I got the impression that they really wanted this to be big or special, whatever, you know, somehow. And I was thinking, like, what am I going to do? You know, long story short, I acted like I was, you know, I interviewed her a little bit, had some fun. And then I said, your boyfriend hired me to dance for you, you know. and she was sitting there like, what? I'm like, yeah, the fun, you know, you got Chippendale, you got Fudgy the Whale, blah, blah, blah. It was a lot of fun. And I said, you know what? Maybe we should do a threesome. Where's your boyfriend at? He comes up. Tall guy, looks like Dolph Lundgren. You know, so I'm like, let's do this. We're going to do a threesome here on stage. And then I give him the mic. And here, why don't you sing while we're doing this? And I start getting like, I'm acting like I'm going to take my shirt off. And he gets on his knee and starts.
Dude, that's amazing. That's
really
awesome.
Cool to be a part of.
Yeah.
It's fun.
So what happened? Did she freak the fuck out?
Yeah, she said yes.
But did she freak the fuck out?
Yeah.
That's the best part.
She trembled. She trembled. She was, you know, the hands were shaking and the sweat. Yeah. She grabbed my cock. It was nice.
There you go.
Full fledged.
It was holding the ring.
That's right. Hold on to something.
Yeah,
that's
where
we put the ring. Yeah,
that's what.
We snuck the ring on my cock.
How big was her finger?
She's a big girl.
It was a bracelet, actually.
But that was a lot of fun. That's April and Ryan in Newport News, Newport News, Virginia. I had a lot of fun doing it,
that's
and.
Cool.
Thanks, everybody at Kazi's. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with Elgin David.
What up?
Ciro Doberk.
Oh, my.
And we're going to come back with Straight from the Headlines right after this.
This is the Reverend Bob Levy, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. If you're not, you're probably sleeping, you lazy fucks.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Late Doggy Show. And now for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from around the world and make fun of them. There you go. Got it straight.
Wow. I was waiting for it. That's crazy. I was waiting for it. Make fun of it. And then Peter goes, them.
It's them. I think it could be accepted either way in my world.
Yeah, well, we know what you mean.
Someone shouted bomb in Iran, panicked passengers tell of a screaming stampede as people fled in terror when a hissing and smoking phone charge burst into flames, all on a London tube.
Oh, wow.
That's their subway.
They had another bombing?
Run, Lovey, run.
It was just a phone. It's a bomb.
So it wasn't a bomb. It was someone's phone that exploded.
Just somebody's Samsung blowing up.
Wow. People still buying these fucking things?
Where was Samsung made?
Korea.
Yeah.
Two passengers.
I wonder why they were blowing up on us.
Have told on the were told of the panic on board of a London Underground train today when exploding mobile phone charger led to fears of a terror attack. Police moved in and evacuated Tower Hill Station near the Tower of London after reports of an explosion. Well, it was more like a boom on a train sparked fears of another Parsons Green.
Did you hear that?
It was probably one of those, you know, those portable charging, like little like bricks that people are carrying around.
Right.
That's probably what it was.
Could have been.
It could have been because people
been
those things.
Incompatible wire.
Do you have one of those things? Those rechargers?
I have one, but I don't use it.
It's like you got to remember to charge your recharger.
Exactly.
As well as charge your phone.
And then you have
to
carry this thing around with you everywhere you go as like a backup battery. Like it's like...
I would trade in...
Recharged again. Like we need this energy like this. Like if people are so attached to these fucking things, we're carrying around extra batteries for them. Look how big this fucking thing is. This is a mini flat screen TV.
Exactly.
And now there's controlling they're coming out with the 8 and the X at the same time.
$1,000 for a phone now.
$1,000.
Can you imagine?
And the front and back are glass, so now you can break it both times.
In 1970,
that's awesome.
They're
so smart.
In 1972, that was the price of a new car.
It probably was.
But, you know, $1,000.
In 1941, I think that was a house.
Yeah.
Really good neighborhood.
Yeah, with lights that were bright white.
And now, you know what the fucking new thing is doing? It's reading your face.
Facial recognition.
To open it.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, just in the same way that my phone's always listening to me, because watch... Hey Siri, and I can so that means she always has to be listening for that command.
Right.
Yep.
Now they're having it's face recognition, so that means they're always going to be watching you.
What if it's in the dark?
It doesn't matter. It's infrared, so that you're going to be able to pull it up to your face in the dark. It'll see your face and unlock itself. Mm. So now it's always going to be watching you.
What if you're wearing a mask?
And they're still going to try and chip people.
What if it's Halloween? What if I'm at Universal Studios?
What if somebody just punched me in the face?
Yeah, right?
I just got fucking knocked
Siri
in the face.
Siri comes on. Your nose is broken.
Yeah. That's... You don't look like Doug. You look like his brother who's in jail. Some people got up and ran into a carriage.
Oh, we're back to the story?
There was so much
Good
screaming.
Segment.
People from the third carriage started running towards the other end of the train. I mean, you're freaking out. Everybody's so tense.
Well, they just had some guy with a pot on smoking.
What?
The guy had a blow up pot.
Somebody
thing.
Blew up a fucking thing in the subway down there. And
like
with
a week ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's another
oh, yeah, no one
bombing.
Got hurt, right? That one, yeah. I mean, there was, nobody died.
Thank
well,
God.
Yeah. They got hurt trying to get away from it, which
yeah,
was...
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. The panic.
You know.
It's like, stay calm. It's like that scene in Animal House. Stay calm. That's Kevin Bacon in that scene.
Yeah.
He plays one of the, what do they call that in school when you're in military? ROTC? Or he played a cop. Here's a pretty educational story.
Yes, story number two.
Paul Revere's outhouse. North End Dig may have found a colonial privy.
This is the cleanest outhouse ever.
Yeah.
What?
My shit is coming. My shit is coming.
Is it one or by two? It's power of ear. I have to go number one.
That's like that joke. I do that joke about Pawn Stars, and it's like everything they bring in, there has to be an expert. You know, like, you know, I got the shit stained drawers of Mr. Benjamin Franklin in my hand, and then the old man's like, "How do I know those are Benjamin Franklin shit stained drawers?" And he's like, "Look, because the shit stain is in a lightning bolt. These are the drawers he was wearing when he got struck by lightning and discovered electricity." Well, I don't know much about presidential poop, but I got a buddy of mine who's an expert.
I know someone who happens to be an expert.
I see it playing out on stage. Yeah. It's funny.
You like it?
From a storytelling aspect, yeah. If you play it out, that's funny.
Right, and then
expert comes in and he's like, I've been smelling old drawers for 40 years. Yeah. I'm a purveyor in historic underwear.
I smell drawers. My daddy smelled drawers before me and his daddy before him.
I actually have a record that I dug up of what Benjamin Franklin ate the night before for dinner. And it is concluded by DNA and smell test that it is his crap on these drawers.
My name is Bobby Skidmark.
me and my family, the Skidmark.
It's not my real name, though.
No, come on.
No, that's my, yeah.
You're
my
given
business
that
name.
Name by my grandpappy, Uncle Sovereign Skidmark. And I have taken a sample of the presidential poo-poo, and I have verified that it is Benjamin Franklin's shit-stained drawer.
Oh my god. You can actually tell that it's his because it is tied to a kite.
Yeah. And is wearing bifocals.
There's a weird piercing string that's hanging from the pocket. That's a bit frayed, looked like it'd been like on fire. But yeah. Workers digging at the Paul Revere house in the city's north end believe they may have found an archaeological jackpot that could give them a unique window into history, and just what did Paul Revere's shit smell like? The possible privy was discovered on Monday, and diggers were attempting to open it, but thought, you know what, let's wait and turn a fan on.
But we found this ancient cesspool. Let's see what's inside. Geraldo should cover that.
Anyone bring their mask? No, let's go.
We found an ancient cesspool.
Wouldn't it be funny if there's like a Playboy next to the fucking toilet? City archaeologist Joe Bagley told the news and Doug Cope that a find like this is important because people back in the colonial era threw a lot of stuff in their privies, stuff that could give insight to their lives.
Oh, okay.
You'd fill it up with you-know-what, shit. And then you'd also throw household waste because everyone threw their trash out into that. So in other words, imagine that. You take a shit, and you take the newspaper, just throw it down there with it.
Think about what would probably live in there. Like, you'd be in your house back then, and there can be rats running up and down into there, roaches, disgusting flies.
You can't even finish
so
that,
it wasn't like a cess tank. Just
that's why they usually had it on the opposite side of their house.
Yeah.
The privy, because it probably stunk so bad.
But after
there's no Glade air fresheners, no stick-ups.
No Febreze.
No Febreze. There's just the breeze.
The breeze. That's what my wife
calls
debris.
You get used to things.
My wife puts a plural on everything. When she says the word debris, she goes, debris. He said the team found a 4x6 foot brick rectangle. Oh, wait, that was a piece of shit. Too small to be a foundation for the house. Typically, what you would do is you would dig a big pit. You'd line it with bricks, Bagley said. You typically also line it with clay because you didn't want the contents to leak into your well. Hey. This water tastes familiar.
You're going to have your well right next to your privy?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's perfect. That's good planning.
And those are the days where they didn't have boil water orders.
Yeah, honey, I don't want to drink this coffee. That's not coffee.
That's why the water was always brown back in those movies and shit. Like,
yeah.
Which well did you pull this from, honey?
I put the privy right next to the fucking well. What could go wrong? The British are running. My ass is running.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that's cool. I'm glad they found it.
Did they find anything inside besides shit and piss?
Jimmy Hoffa. Bagley said there was a law in place back in Boston in the 1650s mandating that every household dig their privy at least 6 feet deep. But that doesn't mean everyone followed the law, those fucking Bostonians.
Ew. I mean, that's going to fill up after a while.
You know, Jimmy Hoffa makes sense, though.
Hey, by the way, I didn't dig at 6 feet, so don't take so much shit. Hold it. Go to the gas station down the corner. There's no gas stations back then, but...
Just imagine a porta potty you can never empty.
It just builds up.
That's what's in house back in the day.
Wouldn't you be a little more particular about what the fuck you put in it? Like, you know, you're saying, it's like a shredder. Sometimes you don't put everything in a shredder. You really kind of look at it and go...
Yeah, you can't put coffee grinds down your sink. And you shouldn't put certain things in the privy.
Right. It's privy.
Privy like information. Dead,
it's privilege.
Sure.
That's where privy comes from. It's privilege shit in here.
Like the cat died.
This is some privilege shit.
Throw it in there. A fish, goldfish died. You wouldn't throw it in there.
That makes white privilege such a more derogatory statement.
Now here's the story.
White shit.
Here's the story I teased you guys with, earlier, about the cannibals.
Oh boy,
remember that?
This is a crazy story.
We're getting ready for the show. What's up, Gary Santino?
This story's nuts.
Hey, Jay Bliss, congratulations, buddy, on the finals of the Boston Comedy Festival.
Yay!
Might look like a dope stage.
So dope.
Lured to their death is the headlines. Cannibal couple hunted for victims on dating sites before drugging, butchering, and eating them. Can you imagine you're on the date and like, I'm going to love eating you. Oh, I love it when a guy goes down on me. Dmitry Bakshiev, 35, and his wife Natalia, 42, have confessed to killing 30 people in Russia over 2 decades.
They didn't meet on Tinder. They met on dinner. I don't know why, but I'm channeling my inner Peter over here, you know?
trying
to come up with like corny little jokes on the spot.
I didn't meet him on Tinder. I met him on Din-Din.
On
dinner.
I should have known better.
Dinner be.
Dinner. Oh, my God.
Having you for dinner. I met him on havingyouforDinner.com.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. And this guy has a sickle and a hammer, and Dmitry Bakshiev and his wife have allegedly confessed to butchering and eating at least 30 people.
Oh, my God.
One sickening image dated in 28 December 1990 appears to show a severed human head being served as Christmas dinner. Turkey this year? No. A guy named Bill. Cops near Fear and Natalia may have also fed human meat to student pilots in the Krasnodar Military Academy, where she had worked as a nurse. The couple arrested after the dismembered remains of a young woman were found in the academy next to the bucket filled with body parts.
Now that's a definition of Russian collusion.
Yeah. They definitely colluded. Dmitry admitted to the grim killing and boasted about multiple other murders after a phone
snack chat
was found with pictures of him allegedly posting for selfies with dead bodies.
Tastebook.
Insta-meal.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. There's photos of like a fucking head with hair. The police say that Berkshire set up meetings with victims after chatting with them on dating sites. His wife is reported to have been shown the faces of missing women in southern Russia and identified dozens who she claimed were their victims. Oh, yeah, I remember her. She was a little salty. A police source said, going through the photographs, the woman has recognized more than 30 victims that they killed and had eaten together with her husband.
Where are we going on a date? Hey, we're going to a roast.
A barbecue.
Here, put this blindfold on.
You ever been to a roast? Tonight you will be. Oh, my God.
You don't mind being baked. Yeah, I don't mind smoking. Pictures reveal the... oh, my God. This is horrible.
Do you bake? Yeah, totally. Great. Because I'm going to butter you up,
wonderful.
Baby.
Horrible. This guy looks like a cannibal. What movie was that? I think it was in the book of...
Hannibal?
No. real good-looking black guy. Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington, the Book of Eli.
Book
Remember
Eli.
The Book of Eli?
Uh-huh.
Where him and the chick.
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis. They're at that house, and that older couple was helping them, and they were, like, trembling, and he recognized that they were trembling, that they're probably eating human meat.
Yep.
And that causes you to get tremors.
Yep.
Well, did these people have tremors after eating 30 horny people that wanted to go on a date?
Well, I think he was also trembling. Well, whatever. Fuck that movie. That movie was ridiculous.
You didn't like it?
I liked it, but then he was
blind the whole time.
Blind the whole time? So how the fuck was he doing some super duper Matrix Jet Li flying on, like, karate moves?
Dude, connected. It's like Daredevil. You ever see the fucking Daredevil, superhero Daredevil?
Of course.
So he's blind.
Yeah, but that's Daredevil.
So this guy is the Book of Eli guy. He's a badass. Look, somebody trusted all the words of the Bible in this guy's hands. You would think they would trust. I mean, you know, he's not walking into walls and shit. I mean, one guy came into audition. Listen, not I'm blind walls, and I'm going to carry the Book of Eli. You know, okay, well, come over here. Oops, excuse me. Oh, well, but next.
You're going to tell me.
The guy stubbed his toe on the fucking table.
They didn't give
Yeah, but
guy.
That book was so small. And it was all in Braille.
Right.
It would have been way bigger book. Unless it was, what was it, like shorthand Braille? How do you abbreviate dots? I don't know.
Yeah, can you abbreviate Braille?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking.
Braille doesn't have like acronyms, does it?
I honestly, I'm too ignorant on this subject to make jokes about it.
Yeah.
And not offend anybody who is blind. So.
Yeah, man, not me.
Right.
But seriously, I don't know. But in the movie, it looked like the book was way too small, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. I was just watching all the badass fight
Special
scenes.
Effects.
I liked that movie for that, too. It was cool.
Yeah,
and Mila Kunis
scenes.
Is cute.
Ironic that Mila Kunis is Russian. We're talking about the Russian.
Is she
people.
Russian?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. My printer just printed up a picture of Mila Kunis. What's her name?
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
Mila Kunis.
She's a cute girl. I saw some old 70s show episodes this week, and I had didn't have very good picture. I didn't have like great TV where I was staying, so I had that like 70s show.
Looked like it was actually in the 70s.
Yeah, it did. It looked like I was watching it back in the 70s. On a picture. I haven't looked at a picture tube TV in months, years.
Yeah, I haven't seen one. I only right? see them in old arcade games.
We just finally,
but I've never seen
we
TV
just finally threw ours out. We had one in the garage. Remember the one we had in the garage?
Oh, yeah,
forever?
That's right. It was sitting
that
there
was
for
one of
a
my
while.
First, that TV, the RCA TV, lasted forever for me, man.
And when it was the thing, it was probably really awesome.
It was the big screen in the house, probably. And then you look at TVs now, and they're like gigantic. Like, TVs are so big now. Like I said, like even phones, they're huge.
Right.
But now what pisses me off about TVs is they don't include like the speakers like they used to. And you
right.
have to buy a separate like sound, get the sound bar.
Mm-hmm. Look at you. You should have brought that up with things you can't stand.
I can't stand that.
All right.
I almost got a flashback. Thought we were still doing that. I'm like, oh, yeah. What else don't I stand?
all right.
You have PTSD from the last segment?
Now, most people aren't surprised anymore about politicians and things they say now. You know, like Trump got a lot of heat, obviously saying, take them sons of bitches off the field, right? When's the last time you heard a president say, son of bitch, sons of bitch, whatever?
That's true.
I mean.
Wow.
I think the last time was Trump's, he was a fan of Harrison Ford's.
Right.
Didn't he say it in that movie?
Oh, did he say that it in Air
son
Force
of
One?
Bitch.
Who said that?
Air Force One.
Get off movie. My plane, you son of a bitch.
But here's a story. Roy Moore pulls out a gun while speaking at a rally. Here's a politician. Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore pulled out a handgun during a campaign rally on Monday night.
He won.
During the rally, which came just...
That was his final argument.
His opponent has immediately withdrawn.
I think it would be actually awesome if we went back to duels.
I was going
to
say, maybe this guy's just square off in the middle of town, 10 paces and turn.
Our country was awesome.
Do you know how cool that would be?
Now, if you had a choice,
but
like right now, if somebody gave you a choice between a gun duel, like you have insulted my family and me, grab one of the pistols. Would you rather do a pistol or do a sword? If you grab a fencing sword and fight somebody to death.
Both.
I'd rather shoot.
Yeah?
I don't want to get like my arm cut off and then stabbed through the chest.
Very dramatic.
And then you have to sit there dying. No, just fucking shoot me. Yeah, get it over with. Because it's not sword fights aren't the same way in real life like they're in the movies.
And you don't got like a good reach advantage with a sword.
No, not at all. I mean, I have like, I could cut your legs like down below.
Yeah.
Like really chop at your ankles, hack at your fucking calf muscles.
Cut their
shoelaces. I'll go, you know what? I'll go straight for your Achilles because I know for me, that was like so.
So you'll sneak around and like try to chop the back of
the
Achilles.
Oh, yeah. You know, you got to tuck and roll like in the video games. Tuck and roll, slice. And then Pet Cemetery style, just put them down.
I would. If it was a sword, I would go. I'd probably go with the sword.
But, dude, being stabbed with the sword.
But I don't plan on getting stabbed. I've trained with a sword, so I would feel like I had an advantage.
You know what? I admire your confidence, but you also maybe I'm being too negative. Maybe I mean to be more positive.
I think the sword is a better deal.
I would, because
unless they're really good with a sword,
and then you find, see the guy doing all these.
But I'm saying being on the losing end is not fun.
I picked wrong again.
The gun.
Wouldn't you want to go quick and easy though?
I would go. Actually, I'm a good shot. I'd probably take the gun because I would, again.
You're so good at everything, Dougie.
But I've shoot guns. I mean, I haven't practiced my sword in years. But a gun, I go to the range at least every month or two. Practice, and that's
all right.
You can't like your fucking pink, your finger can't get a little.
Well, I guess I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I'm trying to see, because
I'd like to see you get in a sword fight. We gotta do that on one of our YouTube pages.
Can we do that?
We haven't done a YouTube video in a while. We have you and Zero.
No way. We'll get the fucking foam little swords from Dollar Tree, and then we'll just go at it. They're pretty good, and whoever's sword breaks first
must concede.
And then. Yeah, you just got it. Let's do it. Let's have a sword.
Like the first guy who shoots a load in a gangbang.
I'm so excited to have a sword fight with you. And in any other context, that would sound terrible. So for some people tuning in right now,
that's how we'll promote it.
I can't wait to have a sword fight with Ciro.
That's how we're going to promote it.
Really? Elgin
and Ciro are going to have a sword fight.
Yeah, tune in.
During the rally, which came just hours ahead of the Republican primary runoff Tuesday, Moore said he dealt with nearly 3 months of negative ads. I'm sure this won't help. ABC News reported ads that were completely false, that I don't believe in Second Amendment, or I don't believe in the Second Amendment. Moore, a former state Supreme Court Chief Justice, said he then turned and pulled out a handgun while saying, I believe in the Second Amendment. There you go. Comment was met with cheers from the audience.
Of course it was.
They're in Alabama.
Alabama.
Yeah. They probably all pulled their guns out.
Now start to shoot. It's like a fucking saloon in the 1800s.
Oh, man.
Never be surprised.
So back in the day, you could go to a saloon, get in an argument, kill somebody, sit back down, finish your fucking drink, and they're just like, whatever. We'll just,
if you're a badass.
We'll dump them in the privy.
If you're a badass, you're a Clint Eastwood. Because then the sheriff comes in and is like, you kill that man? May have.
Guy doing chewing tobacco. Another one for the privy.
Yep.
Ding. I heard you guys getting low in your privy. Because he, my friend, is a piece of shit.
Oh, my God.
He cheated in poker.
But that's insane, man.
You
guys think we should go back to that? Well, Ciro, he was excited.
I think, no. We live in the same time with TVs and shit.
Right.
But they shoot each other for political offices.
Well, I see it a different. I mean, where are the fucking laser guns and the fucking phasers?
The G.I. Joe weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, where are those? They just keep improving these things. And I'm not just talking about guns. I mean, who cares about guns? But, like, every year I see new phones, new TVs.
Yeah, the advancements have kind of slowed.
It's getting boring now. Can we have some new technology, please?
Hey, you know
please?
What they say on TV? Halo Moto. Hey, you see that guy? You can put an attachment on the phone and all that stupid shit.
No, but I want some new technology, some shit we haven't seen.
I'll give you something new, Elgin. All right? And I forget about technology, but I'm going to give it to you in the food world.
Oh, right? Okay. See, so, okay. This is good.
This is something brand new in the food world that I've never heard of it, and it sounds delicious.
I'm excited.
This particular peanut butter and jelly grilled cheese and peak. I'm getting my mouth watering just looking at the picture. This peanut butter and jelly grilled cheese is peak sandwich. a peanut butter and jelly grilled cheese.
So, what?
Peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Do you have to say all those words
to
order it? With
cheese in it?
Yes.
Ew.
You don't like that idea? A little salt, you know, a little peanut butter sweet and a little...
No.
The recipe is from a new cookbook, Half-Baked Harvest Cookbook.
Yeah, oh, it's just like whatever I find in the fridge cookbook.
It's comfy. It's envelope pushing. And it's the answer when you can't decide if you want something sweet or something savory. We have the recipe for the sandwich below. Order it.
Well, I've grilled a peanut butter and jelly sandwich before and have like a hot PBJ.
I was never a peanut butter and jelly kid. My parents always had bologna or ham.
You have fried bologna?
I've done the fried bologna.
Fried bologna's the shit. I never used to like it. Ever. I never used to eat it until I started dating Jocelyn. And she loves fried bologna. Loves it.
I had a Puerto Rican girl one time take hot dogs, cut them up in little pieces, and cook them with eggs.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I mean, hot dogs, little salchichas, little sausages. Yeah. You throw them shits in everything.
Everything.
Salchichas and rice.
Salchichas.
Yum. Salchichas.
Salchichas. Yes, that's what they're called.
Our sword fight will be brought to you by salchichas.
Yeah, sponsored by salchichas.
Oh, this is how you make a peanut butter and jelly grilled cheese. You take 4 tablespoons, a half a stick of salted butter, 4 slices of crusty whole wheat or sourdough bread, 4 tablespoons of blueberry jam, store-bought or homemade, you fucking pick, 4 tablespoons naturally creamy or crunchy peanut butter. What's your favorite peanut butter?
Jif.
I like...
Skippy?
I like Jif.
Yeah?
Yeah, choosy moms choose Jif.
Every once in a while...
I had a choosy mom.
I never eat a peanut butter sandwich, but I've eaten peanut... Like, whether I was alone, single, whatever, like, you'd get peanut butter, and you forget it's in your cabinet. I don't make peanut butter. And then you see it in there when you're high one time, and then you go, oh, you know what? I'm going to grab the peanut butter, and then I'm going to get the Hershey chocolate syrup. I'm going to pour some, you know what I mean?
Make
your own little homemade Reese's.
That sounds good to me.
4 tablespoons of that, and 4 slices of sharp cheddar cheese.
Better than this recipe. Did you put whole wheat bread with that disgusting mix of stuff?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, why bother at this point? You're eating PBJ with cheese, and you're going to use whole wheat bread? Mm. Go fuck yourself.
I mean, if they would have been advanced with a ciabatta roll, you'd be like, oh, Carl's Jr.
Make it simple.
Imagine that, a ciabatta PBJ
cheese. What's your favorite sub shop?
Mr. M's. But actually,
Mr. M's is really
good. Where's that? The spot is awesome here, but there's only...
The spot is whatever.
But let's talk about sub. We can go anywhere if you're in the country.
Oh, in the you can't go anywhere in the country. If I want to go anywhere, get a sandwich in the country, I want to be in New York.
Sal's subs.
Yeah. I want to go to Leggio's in Long Island in Bayshore. It's called Leggio's.
Hmm.
Every town
has been there for 50 years. Leggio's.
Wow. The wife and I go to Publix every once in a while. We were tired of Publix.
I haven't had a Publix sub in ages.
They're good.
They're really good.
But sometimes these people are they're sitting there, they're making a sandwich they're not at work. Like you sit there waiting. You're sitting there waiting for a sandwich. You're like, they're grabbing stuff, maybe I'll grab, oh, you know what? Can I go check the time?
You're not going
to
get
wrap
the speed.
The cheese.
You're not going to get the speed that you get at Subway.
Well, of course not. But you're going to get Boar's Head, which is much better than that shit.
You're right. Every time they make a cheese, they have to rewrap it, close it, put it away.
You got to do that. You got to separate the cheese.
Oh no, I know. But
when you get cheese, you get them individually, right? So they don't You get a little hot and you're stuck together like a fucking chunk in the fridge.
But they should do it like a bartender. When they get an order for this, you want half a pound of American. They should pull it out and they should go, anybody else need American while I'm cutting American? Anyone else? Anybody? Yeah. You want three whiskey sauce? Four, and who else wants? All right, boom. And then make them all at once. Cut all the fucking cheeses instead of being one person at a time.
Yeah, but then what happens if another person walks up after you while you're doing that? And you don't remember who the fuck that person is and you don't know who.
There's got to be a way you can figure it out. Bartenders do it every day.
It's like Oprah. Cheese for you. Cheese for you.
And
everybody
you get some
gets
cheese.
Cheese.
And you get some cheese.
And with that said, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show.
Wow, this is fucking cheesy.
Where we're giving
ending.
Out cheese. That's what I thought.
I didn't mean it.
Anyway, I want to thank, of course, Elgin David for joining me today.
So great to be here. Thank you.
Ciro Doberg for sitting in on a Tuesday.
Really cool to hang out with Elgin.
Be back next week on Monday, right, I think?
Yeah.
With Ethan Moore, who's over on Monday Coast with you. By the way, we will have a special show tomorrow. Cam Bertrand, very funny comic out of Florida, saw all these contests. He's heading to L.A. He's our feature at Tavolino's on Wednesday night. And our headliner, Mike McCarthy, the barbarian comic, part of the Irish Comedy Tour, who's headlining this week at Tavolino's. will be here tomorrow. And we'll be in the studio, and we'll talk about all kinds of shit. How you like that?
Nice.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Thursday, we're doing a show out in Miami. You're hosted.
I can't wait.
Perry Sack's going to be in my middle, and I'm headlining it. It's at a community.
Yeah, it's going to be like in an apartment building.
Like a community that they book it for.
For a bunch of shut-ins. They don't like to go out.
They don't want
to
go anywhere. Not leaving this house. All right, I'll stay in the community. Follow us, by the way, on Twitter at Wake Up Dougie. Follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Dougie Dangerous. And join our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Go to DougieAlmedaFor.com. I'm going to be at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids in a couple weeks, and I'm going to be in New York at Greenwich Village Comedy Club, Broadway Comedy Club, and a couple nights at Dangerfields, and waiting for my dates in Gotham. How about you, Ciro?
Check out Comedy Detour Mondays at the 19th Hole and at Ciro Comic for Twitter and Instagram.
Elgin.
You can follow me at Elgin David Comic, and I also have a couple episodes coming up on the show I Am Frankie on Nickelodeon, so check it out.
There you go. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll be back tomorrow right here at the same spot.
Cool. People on earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside. Thick beam of light hit the ground. Everyone felt the sound of their heartbeat. Every man, every woman, every child. They passed the limits of imagination to the door, to the world. Journey of a thousand lifetimes with the children of the sun.